Welcome to the Daylight Saving Change edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. This was first broadcast on Sunday, April the 6th, 2025, and we bring you the latest from the world of amateur radio in VK7. This week, joining you from the Tasmanian Amateur Radio News Desk is Nick, VK7, Whiskey Whiskey. Now tune in as we share updates and insights across VK7, broadcast through an array of platforms and frequencies on DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91 Charlie, managed by Gavin, VK7HGO, on medium and high frequency rebroadcasts, thanks to our dedicated operators, 1.862 MHz by Graham, VK7GS, 3.670 MHz by Dale, VK7DG, 7.140 MHz by Ross, VK7ALH, 14.130 MHz by Any Takers, 28.525 MHz by Gary, VK7JGD, and UHF CB Channel 24 in the Hobart area, hosted by Mark of VK7FMAC. Now, if you missed today's broadcast, you can catch the replay on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in northern Tasmania and VK7RHT and UHF CB24 in southern VK7. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the broadcast. Now, further to that mentioned on the WIA National News, this is another reminder about the RAOTC broadcast for Monday the 7th of April 2025 at 8 p.m. local time. That's tomorrow night for those listening on Sunday. The first item describes Barry, VK6ADI's introduction and eventual success with slow scan television. It started with the importation of a ham robot kit from the USA when Barry lived in Darwin. This was destroyed by Cyclone Tracy. He didn't re-engage with SSTV until resettling in VK5. From there, Barry later became net controller of the Western Australian Digital SSTV Group. The second item tells of the inventor of audio broadcasting. Reginald Fessenden is known for discovering amplitude modulation, AM, and explaining its scientific principles. He proved mathematically that generation of a sine wave would be necessary before satisfactory modulation could be achieved. This had to wait for the invention of the thermionic valve. With his heterodyne principle, he put into practice the idea of mixing two signals to carry the audible low frequency of the human voice. So listen at 8 p.m. Monday, local time, over VK7RAA, VK7RHT, the statewide network, or at about 8:30 p.m. as a telecast on VK7AX, Spectrum Tasmania, via the BATC members stream, or in the Ulverston area on 445.50 MHz DATV. Audio feed is available on VK7RDR, 439.775 MHz on the Dazzle range. The broadcast date again is Monday, April the 7th. Callbacks will follow on both networks. Please call in if you're able. This provides the ROATC broadcast committee with an idea of how many are listening to these broadcasts. If you miss the off-air broadcasts, you can listen to the audio files on the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club website. That's 73s from Peter, VK7PD. Now, a WIA news flash. It's been a whole year since the AMA launched the class license, and now it's your turn to sound off. The WIA wants to hear from every Aussie ham, whether it's been smooth sailing or a little rough. Your experience matters. Got 10 minutes? Smash out the survey and tell us how the rollout really went. The link's in the text edition. Use the new call sign process for the Arctic, Antarctic and external territories. We want it all. Confidential responses with real impact. Your insights will help shape the future of amateur radio in Australia. Deadline, 13th of April, 2025 at 23:59 hours. No excuses. Team, there is only 1 week to go. Not a WIA member? No worries. This is open to all Australian amateurs. Share it, spread it, shout it across all the bands. Thanks for being part of the evolution. Let's keep Aussie Amateur Radio on the front foot. 73s from the WIA team. Now the weekly wrap-up for WWFF Sota Pota and Iota. Phil, VK7ID, has been continuing his journey across VK3, activating SOTA summits and parks. Since last week's wrap-up, he has successfully activated 9 more summits and several parks, earning 65 SOTA points for his efforts. While activating Mount McKinley Summit, Phil, VK7ID, braved howling winds and a chilly 3-degree temperature. He found refuge in a small shelter, offering some respite from the harsh conditions during the activation. Rumour has it that he was still wearing shorts. Rodney, VK7HAM, Al, VK7AN, and Peter, VK7ZPE, had unfinished business at the Rathmollen Conservation Covenant and returned on Wednesday. They enjoyed a steady stream of QSOs, including park-to-park contacts. A park-to-park contact occurs when one activator operating from a designated park makes contact with another in a different park. Park-to-park contacts are highly sought after as they can be challenging to make due to factors like band conditions, locations, and often count towards special awards. Matt, VK7MAT, has been exploring VK5, taking in the state's beautiful scenery while activating parks. Over the past 4 days, Matt, VK7MAT, has activated 14 parks, which included some great park-to-park and DX contacts, using his IC705 at 10 watts. During his visit to Bel Air National Park, Matt had an unexpected encounter with hungry magpies. A maggie swooped, knocking a potato pie from his hand straight into the gathering of eager magpies, who wasted no time claiming the snack for themselves. That's 73 from Matt, VK7MAT. Now the statewide SSTV nights. Once again, it was a statewide net with thanks to Hayden, VK7HH, and Richard, VK7ZBX, for their work at VK7RAF. It wasn't the case of a simple power reset trick. The net was busy and saw the following participants. VK7's Oscar Oscar, NMH, FGGT, AAR, ZGK, ZAB, CAT, GRC, ZCF, AAX, AX, KT, and TW, all sharing 60 photos. The main themes were Cats of Jakarta, a WEGS building session of the ADX transceivers at Reist, tourist shots from a sunset at Ceduna to Victoria Station in London, bridges in Hobart and Launceston, and other highlights were hams touring the UK, CQ from Down Under, that you only need QRP to access repeaters, the VK7RAA repeater site and a maintenance crew, a landed weather balloon with attached sonde, a radio shack full of Lego racing car bits, Big Bird involved in a war plan chat group, various uses of WD-40 and 73s from a VW combi with a large tower attached. Again, Tony, VK7AX, interconnected VK7RJG to his SSTV gateway. But there were no international exchanges. He will try connecting again next week at 8:30 p.m. Remember to use a CTCSS tone of 141.3 Hz so the photos are sent through the northern repeater. Note, Ken, VK7KRJs, and Steve, VK7OO's fully automatic 24/7 monitoring sites allow anyone who has sent an SSTV picture the ability to check them on their pages almost immediately, anytime, both South and North Tasmania. And if you missed the net, there are archives of these SSTV nights, and the photos can be seen on Ken and Steve's SSTV websites or on NTARC's website under blogs. Please remember to use your own photos or those that are copyright free. And that's 73s from Andre, VK7ZAB. You're listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. Now news from the Northwest. The Kentish Endurance endurance ride. Last Sunday, the 29th of March, the Kentish Equine Endurance Riders held an endurance ride near Sheffield. It was a great scenic but challenging course through local forest, private land, and part of the Tasmanian Trail. There were three separate events, the 80-kilometre, 40-kilometre, and 20-kilometre rides. A large contingent of 60 riders entered the 80-kilometre course, and a total of over 80 riders completed. Amateur radio operators from the northwest and north manned the base and three checkpoints, being on site at 6:30 a.m. for a chilly morning start. Those from Northwest Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club, Andrew, VK7XR, Brenton, VK7HP, Oliver, VK7ATA, Eric, VK7EV, Graham, VK7GS, and Roger, VK7ARN. NTARC provided a trio to man a checkpoint. And these were Idris, VK7ZR, Andre, VK7ZAB, and Stefan, VK7ZSB. Northwest Amateurs Dave, VK7DC, and Matt, VK7ML, manned the base. As the day progressed, the sun definitely warmed up the area, and the horses certainly had a workout. At one point, repeater officers Andrew, VK7XR, and Brenton, VK7HP, ran an experiment using a crossband repeater, something that may assist in similar events in the future. We finally left around 4 p.m. after a very enjoyable day supporting a community event, and it was great to have collaboration of amateurs from the northwest and the north work together. Well done all. A big thank you to Roger, VK7ARN, and Dave, VK7DC, for the planning, radio coverage plots, checkpoint photos, and other information to make the day a success. That's 73 is from Eric, VK7EV, news officer from NWTARC. News from the north. SOTA, WWFF Parks Group. The Summits on the Air Worldwide Fauna and Flora Parks Group meets twice weekly, Mondays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. till 12 o'clock at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. For more information, contact Al on 0417 354 410, and that's 73 is from Al, VK7AN. Now, NTARC at the technical night held in the club rooms on Wednesday saw Andrew, VK7 Delta Whiskey, give a short presentation on the Fram to Ham slow scan TV simulation tests conducted from the International Space Station, ISS, earlier this year. These tests were designed to simulate the challenges and unknowns of transmitting 70-centimeter SSTV images, hopefully from a Dragon capsule in the near future. However, since Andrew volunteered to conduct a presentation, the game had changed, but more on that later. Andrew covered aspects of the International Space Station simulation of the future mission, namely 5 watts versus the normal 25-watt transmit power, images to be sent on 70 centimeters rather than the 2-meter band, allowing ground users to practice the more challenging, faster, and wider Doppler correction requirements. The longer image capture for this simulation, 120 seconds versus the 36 seconds for Fram to Ham's Robot 36 SSTV mode. This was to allow ground users to hone their signal polarization switching skills, both manually and electronically, as well as precise antenna pointing. The ISS travels west to east, as opposed to the SpaceX Dragon Fram 2, which will be on a polar north-south pole orbit. The all-important How to Track Satellites Using program like G-Predict, websites with important flight information, and possibly the most important, the updating of the software's TLE, or two-line elements file, often referred to as Keplerian elements. This allows your satellite tracking software to present you with orbital receiving information relevant to your location on the Earth. Andrew then covered the audio recording of the transmission, Doppler and polarization correction, and polarization changes required, completing this section with the submitting of uploaded images to the gallery and applying for an award. Andrew then presented us with half a dozen images that he had successfully decoded from the ISS tests and his ARIS SSTV Award of Achievement. Now, for the icing on the cake, within a day or so of his presentation, Andrew learned that the actual SpaceX Dragon had just launched on its Fram-2 mission. With the TLE files quickly loaded, the ones to find out where and when to point the antenna, basically, Andrew soon learned that a lot of good orbital passes clashed very badly with that thing called your daily job. Hi, hi. Funnily enough, though, the next potentially good orbit for decoding was the night of the presentation at about 21:39 hours. So needless to say, Andrew didn't hang around long after the presentation. A quick cuppa and off he went. I have no idea of the outcome yet, but fingers crossed. The main take-home of the second part of the presentation was transmission frequency, 437.550 MHz plus or minus 10 kHz, Robot 36 SSTV FM. 12 SSTV image transmissions were to be in random order. Images are combined to represent 3 geographical locations relating to polar exploration, with 4 images making up each location. There will be approximately a 3-day transmission window with only a limited time assigned for the SSTV operation. Astronaut and radio amateur Rabia Roger, LB9NJ, that's /KD3AID, will transmit the SSTV images from the SpaceX Dragon. There is an excellent link to AMSAT UK included in the text version of this broadcast, and by the time this goes to air, the 3-day mission will have ended, and the SpaceX Dragon with its crew will hopefully have safely splashed down in the Pacific Ocean. Now for the real stop press. As I was penning this article on Friday afternoon, I had to stop. The reason being was to listen to ABC local radio. There was an interview with Andrew, VK7DW, live to air, covering the Dragon Fram-2 slow scan TV experiment. This was an excellent interview, Andrew. You certainly conveyed the relevant information, including some hard-to-explain concepts, simply and in a digestible format for the listening audience. Well done. As always, pictures will be available on the NTARC website under blogs for this broadcast. Now, upcoming events. Testnet and Technet session. Every Wednesday, the Testnet CW course on 3.580 MHz from 7 p.m. And then there's a Technet on 3.567 MHz from 7.30 till about 8.30. And your host for the evening is Nick, VK7, Whiskey Whiskey. The Club Room Technical Night session. The next session is on Wednesday the 16th. 16th of April at the usual time of 6:30 p.m. in the Club Room, Archer Street, Rochalie. Coffee mornings held this Friday in the NTARC Club Rooms. Time is from 10 a.m. to noon, and we look forward to seeing you all there. Please note, there will be no Friday coffee mornings on Easter Friday and Anzac Day. That's no coffee morning on the 18th and the 25th of April. Finally, a reminder to all members that if you have any items of news you'd like added to our weekly roundup, no matter how trivial, then please email them to the secretary at the following address, news@ntarc.net. All items to be received no later than 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the broadcast. That's all, folks. 73 is from Stefan, VK7ZSB, Secretary, NTARC Incorporated. Now, news from the South. REAST ADX build update, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania. A huge thank you to Richard, VK2ARH, and the Manly Warringah Radio Society, who have shared their wonderful kit build of the Arduino Digital Modes HF QRP Transceiver, or ADX for short. Last Wednesday night, we continued our ADX builds, with many completing and testing their build. There was a focus on winding the low-pass filters so we could test the transmitter and then complete the receiver section and do a final test. We had a team of people helping the kit builders throughout the build, and this hopefully gave our experienced and less experienced builders some support to ensure things were in the right place. And if not, a recovery pathway. We will have a final build night on Wednesday the 23rd of April, and we encourage builders in the meanwhile to continue their build and winding at home. That's 73s from Justin VK7 TW. Now, the April Forum Night is on 3D printers and printing. This Wednesday night will focus on 3D printers and printing with an amateur radio focus. And we're interested in the type of printer and filament you use, the good, bad, and the ugly, the software you mainly use for 3D design and printing, and the main sources of 3D print files for amateur radio and electronics, and any hints and tips on 3D printing. We look forward to hearing all about your adventures in 3D printing and amateur radio. And this is on Wednesday, the 9th of April, 2025, from 7:30 p.m. in the Queen's Domain Club Rooms, and it'll be live streaming. So see you there. That's 73s from the Reist Committee. Now, the April presentation night is on fire detection technology and much more. Right, this is from the guys by Indicum Technology. There are some very high-tech solutions that are being deployed in the field to detect fire in our wilderness. These high-resolution steerable cameras are scanning and interpreting visually the AI technology. There are also an array of sensors and indicators that use technology like LoRaWAN and MeshTastic to feed data into networks and provide early warning of the bushfire. Now, thanks to Rob Vernon and his team for agreeing to come along and give us a presentation on this technology. When? April the 16th, 7:30 p.m., Queen's Domain Club Rooms, and it's streamed. Please note, our presentation night has moved to the third Wednesday of the month, as our presenters will be on Lord Howe Island installing monitoring equipment. So see you there, 73's the Reist Committee. You're listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News broadcast. Now, the May presentation night is the Tasmanian Trail on an electric unicycle. A huge thank you to Alan, VK7KAN, who's agreed to give us a presentation on his recent expedition from the top to the bottom of Tasmania on an electric unicycle. Alan is currently doing this with his brother, who is riding an electric mountain bike. For those who don't know, the Tasmanian Trail is a 480-kilometre multi-use trail that runs from Devonport to Dover. Many of you met Alan at the ABC studio tour, as Alan is one of the technical services team and is taking a well-earned rest and seeing Tasmania up close and personal. Wednesday, the 7th of May, from 7:30 in the Queen's Domain Club Rooms, and it's streamed. This should be a great presentation. 73's from the Reist Committee, and now Reist Training and Update. Reist Training and Assessment Update. Are you looking to join the world of amateur radio or upgrade your license? Reist has you covered with regular training and assessment days for all license levels. Key dates. Foundation training and assessment days held every 2 months, with the next one on the 12th of April. That's 12th of April 2025. And standard, advanced and regulations assessment held on alternate months starting 31st of May. Now stay updated with the full schedule on the Reist events page. Do you need to secure your spot or ask a question? Email reist.assessor@gmail.com, and your inquiry will go directly to the learning organizer, who will be in contact with you. We have learning resources available, including our foundation license training videos that are a must watch for beginners. Find them on the Reist YouTube training and assessment playlist. Now, practice makes perfect, so prepare with the WIA foundation trial exams, and the link can be found on the email edition of the broadcast. Whether you're starting your journey or leveling up, Reist is here to guide you every step of the way. Now, that's 73s from Reg, VK7KK. Space technology news. NASA is shutting down parts of Voyager 1 and 2 to extend their lifespan, nearly 50 years after they were first launched in 1977. Voyager 1 and 2 are still traveling around interstellar space, though they've faced some setbacks over the years. Now, NASA has announced that the twin Voyager spacecraft are losing some of their features in a bid to extend their lifespans in the face of a diminishing power supply. On February 25th, NASA's JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, turned off Voyager 1's cosmic ray subsystem experiment, and on March 25th, it will shut down Voyager 2's low-energy charged particle instrument. The Voyagers have been deep space rock stars since launch, and we want to keep it that way as long as possible, said Suzanne Dodd, Voyager project manager at the JPL. But electrical power is running low, and if we don't turn off an instrument on each Voyager now, we would probably have only a few months of power before we would need to declare the end of mission. Each probe will continue to run three science experiments, but hold another seven instruments, which have turned off over time. Just last October, NASA shut down Voyager 2's plasma science instrument. However, both spacecraft have experienced recent issues. Last June, Voyager 1 started running properly again, following 7 months of technical issues, including unreadable data. It had a similar issue 2 years prior in 2023. Voyager 2 went dark for 2 weeks after requiring technical assistance 3 years earlier. Every minute of every day, NASA still puts a lot of value in the Voyager probes. That was written by Sarah Fielding for the Engadget web e-zine. Now, regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. Regular gatherings. The Sewing Circle Net, and that's daily on 3.640 MHz, commencing at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. There's the statewide SSTV Net, held every Thursday night via the North-South Link on VK7 RAF, VK7 RJG, from 7:30 p.m. And in the North and Northwest, VK7 RJG on 438.55 with a minus 7 megahertz, and in the south, VK7 RAF on 146.650 with a minus 600 kilohertz, and the CTCSS tone of 141.3 hertz to link RAF north-south. A statewide microwave QSO party follows this Sunday broadcast. Call back on 1296.15 megahertz FM, one group in the Greater Hobart area and another in the Greater Launceston area, and then a north-south digital contacts on 1296.2 megahertz using Q65-60B. Stations in the Launceston area transmitting on the odd minute, southern stations on the evening minute. Okay, Reist Wags, Wednesday afternoon group from 12 noon in the Reist Club Rooms, Queen's Domain, and the Reist Wags, the Wednesday Experimenters group on the 3rd, 4th and 5th Wednesday nights of the month from around 6 p.m. in the Reist Club Rooms, Queen's Domain, and streamed, and the Reist 6-meter AM net on 53.1 megahertz every day from 4:30 p.m. SOTA WWFF group meeting Mondays and Fridays 10:30 to 12 midday at Glebe Gardens, Henry Street, Launceston. Testnet and TechNet every Wednesday, Testnet CW course on 3580 MHz from 7 p.m, then a technical net on 3567 from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Clubroom Technical Night Session, the next session, is on Wednesday, the 16th of April. And don't forget, NTARC Coffee Mornings are held every Friday, but not on Easter Friday or on Anzac Day. Northwest VK7, Wednesday from 8 p.m. local, the Northwest Tassie Amateur Repeater Group on 2 meters VK7 RMD and All-Star Node 56780. Northwest VK7, Thursdays commencing at 8:30 p.m. local time, the 2 meter DX net on 144.190 USB. Right, a reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast, the newsreader, VK7ZIR, repeaters Reist, NTARC, and in the Northwest, thanks to NWTARC, WCRG, NWCRRA, VK7AX, VK7JH, and VK7DC. 160 meters, VK7GS, 80 meters, VK7JGD, 40 meters, VK7DG, 20 meters, VK7ALH, 10 meters, VK7VKT, and UHF CB24 VK7 FMAC and DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91C VK7 ZCR. A huge thank you to all people and organizations that assisted with this broadcast. That wraps up this week's edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. Hope you found it informative and enjoyable. And you've just been listening to VK7WI. Or if you've just tuned in, you've missed our live broadcast. But don't worry, if it's not Tuesday night, then you can catch the rebroadcast on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in Northern VK7 and VK7RHT and UHF CB24 in the South. We encourage you to share your news, stories, and updates with us. Email your contributions to VK7ARNews@gmail.com. Remember, the deadline for submissions is 2100 hours on the Friday before the Sunday broadcast. Stay tuned for callbacks on the frequency you're currently listening to. Relay stations will use their own call signs during this time. On behalf of the entire VK7 Amateur Radio News team, this is Nick, VK7 Whiskey Whiskey, wishing you 73s and good DX to all.